Your church, can I just say, I feel so welcome here, and it's fantastic, the welcome that you give to visitors, and keep that up, because it's brilliant, it's really good, so thank you very much for that. Sometimes when I'm in church, I lose my concentration, and so I thought what we would do after the fantastic worship that we've just had, we'll stop for a commercial break. I hope you don't mind. You may have read, if you've got good eyesight, Show Jesus up there. And I'm just going to talk about Show Jesus for 5 minutes. And I hope you'll you don't mind me doing this. We're going to play a game called Spot the Photo of Richard. There are photos up there. I run a charity called Show Jesus, and Show Jesus basically is involved in reaching out to communities, reaching out to places where sometimes the church doesn't go. Things like agricultural shows. I don't know if you've ever been to an agricultural show or you know about them at all. The biggest one in Wales is called the Royal Welsh Agricultural Show. 243,000 people went to the show, plus all the traders, plus all the people who work there. You're talking somewhere approximately the size of the Valleys, okay? Everyone, if you imagine, everyone from the Valleys stands up, walks up to a small town in the middle of Wales and goes there and for 4 days. And it's fantastic. It's really good. So what we do and what we've done for the past 33 years, now, it wasn't me who started it 33 years ago because I'm only 33 years old. But there were some people, and I met one of them yesterday, actually, who 33 years ago went up to the Royal Welsh Show, got a small pitch. It was only tiny, about 3 metres square. Let me just convert that into old money, 10-foot square. And they kind of just told people about Jesus. They gave away gospel tracts and so on. What we do these days is a little bigger than that. But that's just one of the things that we do. This is who we are these days. You may recognise one or two of the faces. That's me on the top left, Ed, who comes and helps at your kids' club on a Tuesday. My friend Stuart, and then Martin Irwin, Phil Davis, Andrew Rose and Helen Linton. We're the team who head up Show Jesus. It's all in the wrong... Yeah, so there we go. That's what we've done. 231,346 visitors to the show. Now, you will be glad to know they don't all come into our tent that we've got there because, A, the tent's not big enough, and, B, we wouldn't be able to serve them all with tea and coffee and squash. But we do make around about 20,000 drinks, and they come in, they sit down. If you imagine, the marquee's about the same size as this hall, maybe slightly smaller, and over 4 days, that's the kind of thing that we do. 180 traders come to a barbecue that we run on the Wednesday evening, and they call us their own personal travelling church because they go to the Royal Welsh Show and we're there. They go to the Bath and West Show and we're there. They go to the Three Counties Show and we're there. They go to the Vale Show, to all of these different places, and we're there. And they go, oh, you're the guys in the blue T-shirts, aren't you? I went to hire a generator the other day from a company in Cardiff, and the guy, I had my blue T-shirt on, my Show Jesus T-shirt, and he went, you're the guys from the Royal Welsh Show, aren't you? And I was like, yeah. He said, you are literally a godsend. That's what he called Show Jesus. We help people. Say, you've got traders who get up at 7, 6, 5 o'clock in the morning, work through till 11 o'clock at night, and it's only them and they don't have a break. So we take them tea and coffee. We serve them and we share Christian love with them. One guy in particular, who we're going to see a photo of. I was telling you the story of the guy with the generator. He basically gave it to us for £20 instead of £150. First photo of Richard, can you see? Top left, there he is. Putting up the marquee. This is from a few years ago, but I thought I'll make it relevant to you, you know. And this is the kind of thing that we do at the Royal Welsh Show. There's army people there because there's a big army base. There that we do puppets and kids' songs and activities. I just want to tell you about the guy in the black T-shirt at the bottom right. His name is Michael. He's not a Christian. In fact, he's Jewish. And he has the store directly opposite us. Okay, so he's the guy that we have most contact with, and we see him at all these different shows. He's selling Crocs at the moment, you know, those stupid-looking shoes, but they're really comfortable. I have a pair. And he comes along to our barbecue. He knows kind of exactly what we stand for. And we've had so many good conversations with him over the years. And, you know, as a team, we really feel that he's really on the edge of kind of giving his life to Jesus. So do pray for Michael and for his family. They come into the tent. You can see he feels quite at home to join in, which is fantastic. There's another one of Richard. Look. Standing at the tea counter, waiting to be served, I think. What you're the one dressed up as the bear, did you say? So we do lots of different things. And not only do we do it in the sun, but we... you can see 2006 was a fantastic year, but we also do it in the rain as well. And we praise God, whether it's sunny, whether it's raining, whatever the weather is, people come into the tent. If it's sunny, they go, oh, I'm so hot, I could do with a sit down and a cup of squash. So they come into the tent, we chat to them, they go out, and then if it's raining, they come into the tent because it's raining, they have a nice warm cup of tea, or hot cup of tea, hopefully, and we chat to them, and then they go back out to the show. Not only do we go out when it's raining and when it's sunny. This is one of the projects we did up in Aberystwyth last year. But we actually, we go out in the snow with the marquee as well. I took the marquee up to Aberystwyth. It was the big snow days that we had at the beginning of the year. And praise God that the snow wasn't so heavy that it didn't go through the roof of the marquee. I was a week of sleepless nights is what I had there. But this is the events that we were involved with in 2010. It's not just the Royal Welsh Show, but 26 events. In fact, there's about 28 or 29. I forgot to put a few on there. Of all the different things that we've been involved with over the summer. And just, you know, opportunities to reach out to communities, to places where the church doesn't normally go. McIntosh Evangelical Church went to Roath Park Rec. We had over 2,000 Muslim people into the tents over 2 days, and we were able to give them literature about Christianity. There's no way they would have come into our church or to their church, but they came into the tent and we were able to share with them. And over 2,000 people who don't know Jesus, and that was just on one weekend. So, you know, that's the kind of exciting things that that we're involved with. We're also involved, you can see the Show Jesus lorry there parked in front of City Hall. We're involved with Cardiff Council. They ring me up now and they say, Mike, we've got a problem. How can Show Jesus help? Which is fantastic. We're involved with camps, 850 people camping in a field over one weekend. We had over 50 kids respond and become Christians that weekend. The Llan Rhymney Festival, I'm sure you're all aware of that. The Vale of Glamorgan Show, we were in the South Wales Echo. Oh yes, we were. We didn't have a picture, but the quote that we had, Accountant Glyn Davis, who was in charge of the Show Jesus tent that day, said, many people don't go to church these days, so we bring the church to them. We don't buttonhole people. Some people want to chat, others just have a cup of tea and go. He said the economic downturn was not major top of a conversation, but get this was in the South Wales Echo, but we do find that in people there is a spiritual need and a question of what exactly they're putting their faith in, he said. In the South Wales Echo, and I was so excited about that. I wasn't there personally, but Show Jesus was, and we were able to witness even to the journalists that came in to the tent. But we do need help setting up and taking down administration, driving, cleaning, ambassadors, people to tell other people about Show Jesus. And just five things to pray for. Pray for the traders and the visitors that we meet every year. These people who come into our tent, who call us their own traveling church, you know, for deepening relationships with them. And for the people who come to the shows every year, who they come into the tent and they say, remember last year we were talking about this? And you're like, well, I've no idea. And you carry on the conversation with them. Pray for them. Pray for new shows and events for 2011. Partnerships with local churches and community fund days. Finance for the work. And lastly, and this is my plug, will you become a friend of Show Jesus? I put my Bible down somewhere and I've lost it. Where is it? Oh, around the back of my computer. Will you become a friend of Show Jesus? You know, without prayer, if we're just doing things because we've always done them, without prayer, then things will guarantee to fail. And what we want is prayer partners for Show Jesus, friends of Show Jesus. If you would like us to send you our prayer letter, then do fill in one of these forms and give it to me, because, you know, we would love for you to become partners with Show Jesus and to pray for the work, pray for the literally tens of thousands of people that we meet every year and we're able to share the gospel with. Through the work of Show Jesus. It would be fantastic if you would become part of that and pray for the work, because we need you to do that. So that's the advertising break over. Okay, that's the end of what I was going to say about Show Jesus. I'm going to keep running back and forth to my computer. I hope that doesn't put you off. One of the verses that keeps us going with Show Jesus is found in 1 Peter 3, and it's verse 15. And this is what it says, 1 Peter 3, verse 15. I'll just put it up on the screen, actually. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. It's 1 Peter 3, 15. I'll read that again. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And it goes on to say, do this with gentleness and respect. Let's just pray before we go any further. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come to this place this morning. Lord, as we prayed earlier, that there's people all over the world who go to church in secret, because Lord, if they're caught, then they'll get punished or thrown in jail. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have, that we can come out of our houses, we can come here, and we can worship you in freedom. And Lord, I pray this morning that we wouldn't take that for granted. Lord, I also pray that that your Holy Spirit would just come and speak to our hearts and our minds this morning. Lord, that we would hear from you. We want to be people who are your people, Lord, that are open to what you have to say to us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each of us now. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I was struggling to kind of think about what to speak on this morning, and one of the things I thought would be a good idea was to tell you my story, because I've been here a few times, and kind of maybe you know my face or whatever, but I thought, isn't it good when we're able to share our stories with each other, our testimonies, as we call them in church language, don't we? Of how we came to be doing what we're doing now, and how we came to know Jesus. And I thought it would be good to share that with you. Now, I remember the first ever time that I gave my testimony, and it was in Fairwater Gospel Hall, which... Yes, it was a long, long time ago. And I remember my friend Richard, he came and saw me, he was about 15 years older than me, and he said, Mike, I've got a fantastic idea. You can give your testimony. And I was absolutely terrified of speaking in front of adults, like I still am. And I had it written out on two sheets of A4. He said, oh, 10 minutes is fine. After 2 minutes, I was finished because I was so scared. But I remember the words that I started with, and this is what I said. I said, I was born at a very young age. And I was hoping for a little ripple of laughter, you know, like you just did there. And they sat there like this. They're really, really good at encouraging people. You know, but that's the kind of church that I grew up in. Actually, I grew up in a Brethren church in Cardiff, in Caerphilly, and I was born on Sunday, the 27th of March, 1977, and the following Sunday I was in church. That's where I was, and probably since I was born all those years ago, I've probably only missed about 6 months of church in total in my life. So you know, I'm one of these fortunate people, and I'm so privileged, and I don't want to take it for granted, but I was brought up with parents who love God, who love Jesus, who are Christians, Bible-believing Christians, and it's an honor and a privilege for that to have happened. And as I grew up, In the church that I went to, I went to church 6 times at least on a Sunday. Isn't that impressive, yeah? So I'd get up in the morning, 11 o'clock, we'd have the breaking of bread, the communion service. It used to be called the morning meeting where I went to, and I thought it was because it was so sad and dour, you know, that it was mourning, as in, you know, somebody has died. But no, it was because it was in the morning. And so we went to the communion service, 11 o'clock, we'd go home, we'd have dinner, we'd go back to Sunday school then, and we'd sit in Sunday school, and then we'd go home, and then we'd come back for the prayer, the pre-gospel meeting prayer meeting at 5:30, and go to that 5:30, 6 o'clock then, we'd have the gospel meeting, quick cup of tea, over the road to the old people's home, or to another old people's home in Caerphilly, we'd do another meeting there for the old people, and then we'd go back to somebody's house, and we'd have after church. Where we would have another meeting. And so that was kind of my Sunday, which is why now on a Sunday, anything more than twice in church, and I refuse to go. But, I, you know, although the church that I went to was fantastic, full of Bible knowledge, full of everything, they weren't particularly full of love. In fact, I remember going and telling them, actually, I've become a Christian and I want to get baptized. And you know, you would expect a young person, I was 15 years old, if a 15-year-old came to this church and said, I'd like to get baptized, would you say things like, are you really sure? You know, you wouldn't, would you? You'd encourage them. Unfortunately, I wasn't particularly encouraged when I was growing up. I remember when I was about 10 years old, I was over at my grandmother's house. My grandfather had died six months earlier, and so I was kind of every weekend spending the weekends with my grandmother. And she had some friends come and visit her, and David and Jeanette, their names were. And David came and sat next to me on the sofa, and he said, Michael, because he had a very deep voice. Michael, he said, are you a born-again believer? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Now, bear in mind that I had been to church every Sunday. Even on holiday, we would find a church and we would go to church at least once on the Sunday. And so I knew the Bible inside out. If you asked me about any of the Bible stories and where they were found in the Bible, I could tell you. If you asked me about how to become a Christian, I could tell you how to become a Christian. If you asked me anything about the Bible, probably at 10 years old, I would know. Because that was the kind of church that I grew up in. We knew everything. But when this guy turned around and he said, Mike, have you become a Christian? Have you personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I went like this. And I ran off. I ran into my bedroom that I was staying at my grandmother's house, and I just burst into tears. Because at that moment, when I was 10 years old, at that moment, I realized that I knew everything here, but I knew nothing here. I knew what it was to become a Christian, but I hadn't become a Christian. I hadn't given my life to Jesus. I was kind of, you know, I was there in my suit every Sunday from age 4 to age 10, a suit. And, you know, I carried my King James Version of the Bible with me wherever I went. And I knew everything, but I didn't know Jesus. And so right there and then on my bed in my grandmother's house, I prayed the prayer. I said something like, Jesus Christ, I'm thank you for dying on the cross for me. Come into my heart, come into my life. I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. I want to live my life for you. And 5 minutes later, I went back out to the living room in my grandmother's house. I don't know what they've been talking about. Probably me. And I sat back down next to David, and I said, David, I said, ask me that question again. And he said, Mike, he said, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I went, yes. and it was fantastic. Actually, although I did that, nothing much changed in my life. You know, it was when I was 15 years old, 5 years later, I was at a summer camp called Teen Scene that I still go to kind of 18 years later. I'm a leader now rather than a camper. And 5 years later, after I became a Christian, a guy called Paul Young was speaking at the camp, and he turned around and he said, well, what are you doing to live your life for Jesus? You may have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may have given your heart to him. But what are you doing about it? And I sat there and I thought, well, I'm actually not doing anything. And so I went home and I said, I'd like to get baptized, become an active member of the church and so on. I had to go before the elders. Oh, dearie me. The Brethren Church, it's fantastic. And are you sure you want to become a Christian? Are you sure you want to get baptized? Sorry. Tell us about when you were saved. And we're not sure that that your demeanor in church is correct. And all of these things, you know, how to not encourage somebody when they become a Christian. But I got baptized a couple of Sundays later, became a member of the church in fellowship, as they call it, and took my first Sunday school class when I was 16 years old, and I've pretty much been doing Sunday school ever since. And, you know, God's good, isn't he? I now go to another Brethren church that is about as far apart as the east is from the west, as the church that I grew up in and the church I'm at now. And it's fantastic that, you know, God's kind of had his hand on me through all of that. I did have a little hiccupy time. I went away to university. I was only there for 4 months, not because I was so clever that that's how long it took, but I went away to university for 4 months and failed miserably. But I kind of went off the rails. I didn't go to church when I was there. I got in with the wrong crowd and kind of started doing things and taking things that I probably shouldn't, or definitely shouldn't, I should say. And thankfully, when I failed university, I came home and I met Jan, my wife, and we got married kind of a year and a half after that, and everything back on track and so on. You know, but it's good that even though that happened, you know, I could see through all of that that God still had a plan and a purpose for my life. And 2004, kind of forwarding on to 2004, I got called into full-time ministry, which I live by faith, which is really exciting. If you don't know what that is, basically, I don't get paid for what I do. I trust God to supply my needs. And he does. He has every single month since May 2004, right the way through to now. And, you know, God is faithful, isn't he? I can tell you that from personal experience. If you trust God, then he will never let you down if you're walking in the path that he wants you to walk in. And so it was back in then 2006 we set up Show Jesus and lots of other things that I'm involved with. I'm the community pastor in the church that I go to in Rumney, and we're seeing wonderful things happen there with the young people. And that pretty much is my story of how I kind of became a Christian, how, you know, I ended up at the church in Rumney was when we got married. We were looking for a place to actively be involved in. And it's a fantastic looking back as to, you know, why God allows things to happen in your lives. I'm not saying it's been all good. I've got kidney stones. One of them is an inch diameter. I'm waiting to go into hospital with that. And I've got gout. And I've had a headache for 3 weeks that's just not going away. You know, things happen. But I know that God is with me wherever I go and whatever I do, you know, because he's promised that he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And, you know, that promise actually is there for you as well. And one thing I wanted to challenge you on this one, and I really hope you don't mind being challenged, because that's why I go to church, for God to speak to me, is I've just told you my story, but what's your story? And that verse that we read right at the very beginning is, being ready to give a reason for the hope that you have, being ready to tell your story, you know? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I don't know if anybody's ever personally asked you that before. It's, you know, sorry, I'm getting distracted by his snoring. It's really cute, isn't it? I don't know if anybody's ever asked you, have you personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I want you to imagine I'm personally asking you that now. Have you given your life to Jesus? Yeah, fantastic. That's brilliant. If you haven't, then why not? You know, you're in church, obviously you know all about it. You have that head knowledge the same as I had when I was young. But what about transferring that to your heart? What about actually putting your trust and your faith in Jesus? Have you done that? If not, then why not? And if you have given your heart to Jesus, if you have become a Christian, if you have become, whatever terminology you use, a follower of Jesus, then what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Are you just like I was when I was 10 years old? And safe in the knowledge that you've become a Christian. But what about that walk? What about that walk with Jesus? What about that friendship with Jesus? That relationship with Father God? Is it the same as it was when you became a Christian? Have you kind of stumbled and fallen in your Christian walk? Are you ready to give a reason for the hope that you have or not? It's a challenge, isn't it? I want to encourage you this morning. There's three things that you can do. Maybe if, you know, I don't know you personally, but maybe things have got a bit stale, I don't know. But there's three things that you can do to help your relationship with Jesus. Don't think that I'm talking to just a few people, but to all of us this morning. You know, because no matter who we are, whether we're in leadership in churches, whether we're not, whether, you know, we run things in churches, whether we don't, sometimes all of us stumble and fall. But there's things that we can do. We can talk to God. You know, I want you to imagine that I married Jan, and it was back on the 15th of August, 1998. I'm glad I remembered that then. But imagine, I married her on that day, and I said, yeah, actually, I want to give my life to you, you know, my heart to you, Jan, and we could be husband and wife, and wouldn't that be fantastic? And I never talked to her ever again. Sometimes in the morning, we don't talk, me and Jan. We go like this. We wake up and we go, and Jan goes, and that's pretty much what we're like for half an hour when we wake up in the morning. But imagine we never talked. It would be awful, wouldn't it? Where would we be? Probably still not married. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, God wants us to talk to him. Not about just a few things, but about everything. There's another verse in the Bible that says, pray without ceasing. In other words, it's that constant fellowship with God, that constant talking to God. And through that talking with God, actually, our relationship with him develops. No, not only do we need to talk, but what's the other thing? When we talk, to have a conversation, we need to listen as well. My daughter, Bethan, is 4 years old, and she hasn't learned listening yet. She's learned talking. She's really, really good at talking. Like, really good at talking. Like, she comes into the bedroom at 6:30 in the morning and talks. And then when she goes to bed at 7:00 at night and falls asleep, she stops talking and doesn't stop in between. But, you know, we need to listen as well, don't we? That's how conversations work. And God wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to me. He wants to talk to us. Because he wants to tell us things. He wants to show us things. He wants to direct our paths. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's what the Bible says. Whoever listens to me, says God, will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. I want that. I don't know about you. I want to dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. I want that. How do I get it? Listen. Listen to God. You know, we need to listen to God. There's another verse that I want to read to you. It says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. I want God to direct my paths because I know that God has the best for me. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And if we're listening to God, then God can direct us in the way that he wants us to go. So if we want our relationship with God to grow, if we want our relationship with Jesus to develop, to get stronger, then this is what we need to do. We need to trust God with all of our hearts. I don't know about you. When I went into full-time ministry, it was around about August 2003, excuse me. And I was really, really stressed. I was working for Halifax Bank, and I was a motivational manager for Halifax Bank. How cool is that? Basically, I got to spend money and to play with toys all day, and to encourage my team to sell more credit cards and terrible, naughty things, I don't know, like PPI and all the things that they're suing the banks for now. It was all my fault. And I was doing that. It was quite a stressful job. And our kids club had grown from 20 children in church to 150 children in the space of around about 6 months. And I was in charge of that. And eventually it got to the point in around about August, September 2003. And I just thought, I cannot cope anymore. I went to the doctors. I just found myself crying all the time. I'm 6'2", 20 stone, and I was crying all the time. And I went to the doctor and I kind of explained everything. I said, I can't cope anymore. And she said, after listening to my story of why, you know, what I was involved with, she said, you know, you need to give it up, don't you? And I thought, how dare she say I need to give up God's work? And I said, well, I can't give up kids club. I said, that's ridiculous. She went, no, not kids work. You need to give up work in Halifax Bank. That's what's stressing you out. She said, I can see the kids club is the thing that's keeping you going. She's not a Christian. And, you know, it was... And I went home. And me and Jan prayed about it together, and I got a few of my friends to talk about it. And I just thought, okay, I'll give up one day a week in work. I'll give up Friday in work. I'll work 4 days a week. And I was thinking, you know, I can do things my way. I can cope. I imagine your heart is like a house. And I said to God, yeah, come in. You know, downstairs is great. We always keep downstairs tidy, don't we? But there's no way you're going up into my bedroom, and certainly not the attic. And I was a bit like that, you know. I was comfortable with God, where God was in my life, in my heart. And God was saying, no, actually, I want more. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I then went to a meeting over in St. Melons with Rodney Francis. And he came up to me. I never met the guy before. He's from New Zealand. And he said, do you need to stop dilly-dallying around, trusting God, and you know, he'll supply your needs. And that's when I went into full-time work. But it's like that sometimes, isn't it? We're happy with where we are, where God is, and we have that nice status quo. But we need to trust in God with all of our hearts, not lean on our own understandings, and he'll direct our paths. That's what I want for my life. And, that's what I want for other people's lives as well, for God to direct our paths. And lastly, just the third point is doing. Don't just listen to God's word. This is what it says in James 1:22. It says, don't just listen to God's word. Okay? You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. That's a big challenge, isn't it? It's quite direct. It's not saying you shouldn't really listen, but you should, I suppose, do so. It says, don't just listen to God's words. You must do what it says. And putting that into practice is a really difficult thing. Putting that into practice is tough. It's like stepping outside your comfort zone. You know, if God tells you to do something, then you should do it, because that's what he wants you to do. That's the best plan for your life. You know, we're called as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to be salt and light. Salt actually changes the taste of things. It gives things flavor. Do you give flavor to the people around you? When you walk into a situation, do people taste the difference when you're there? And light. You know, the world is such a dark place, isn't it? Are we shining the light of Jesus when we go to places because of what we do? And if not, then we need to seek God and ask him, what do you want me to do, God, for you? Because he's calling each of us to do something. You don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. What's your story? I found this graphic on the internet. I love the internet. Fantastic place, and also a terrible place. But There's some brilliant Christian things out there. Secondhand Jesus, it says on this Bible. Do you have a living relationship? I'm going to finish with this. Do you have a living relationship with Jesus? Or do you come to church sometimes and listen to what the preacher says and be blessed by it, which is fantastic. That's what we want to happen. And then you go home and you're amazed at what God is doing in other people's lives. Because that's good. That's a good thing to do, to find out what God is up to. But God wants to do something in your life, in your heart. He has a plan and a purpose for you. Do you have a second-hand Jesus? One where, you know, it's fine because other people are, God is doing stuff in their life. Or do you have a first-hand living experience with the living God? Because that's what he wants for your life. It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you're interested in us. Lord, thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us to listen to you. Lord, give us the faith to trust in you. Lord, remind us to talk to you. Lord, help us to do things for you so that our relationship with you will just grow. Lord, we want to be people who are known for our passion for serving you. We want to be people who are known because we love the community, because you love the community. Lord, we want to be your servants. Lord, give us the faith that we need to trust in you. Not to have a second-hand Jesus, but to have a growing, living relationship with the living God. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.